Page 133. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place.
Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place.
Turn to page 134. Prepare our hearts for worship with the Spirit Song.
Son of God, enfold you with his Spirit and his love. Let him fill your life and satisfy your soul. Oh, let him have the things that hold you and his Spirit like a dove will descend upon your life and make you whole. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your lamps. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and sing the song of gladness as your hearts are filled with joy. Lift your hands in sweet surrender to his name. Oh, give him all your tears and sadness. Give him all your years of pain. And you'll enter into life in Jesus' name. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your lamps. Jesus, come and fill your lamps.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hans, would you go ahead and be coming up here, and then I'll ask the ushers to be passing around clipboards for both sides of the sanctuary. Kendra is in charge of collecting food for the parent room at Vacation Bible School. And they need things like breakfast casseroles and all that kind of stuff. So the clipboard is going around, and look at dates and see if you can bring any of those things to help out with Vacation Bible School. And it will be appreciated. Hans, come on up here.
You never see me wearing a t-shirt because I just don't wear them. But this is a special day. Founded in 1952, Compassion International is a Christian child development and child advocacy ministry dedicated to helping more than 1.8 million children in need worldwide. Compassion is Christ-centered, church-based, and child-focused. In partnership with indigenous churches, Compassion's child-sponsoring programs help release children from poverty in Jesus' name. Every child has the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus and experience faith in Christ that endures into adulthood. It was in this very church 8 years ago that Linda and I first heard about Compassion, and we signed up to sponsor one of the children. And there was an Ethiopian, the boy graduated from the program, and now we're sponsoring a second boy in Ethiopia, and we just took on a girl in Mexico to sponsor. The cost for the program is $45 a month, of which $38 goes to the church for the child, and all the children are sponsored through a Christian church, where whatever country they're in. So they're well taken care of. They see to it that they have enough food. They get medical care, they get education, and all of that for $45 a month. And you can hardly eat dinner for two out for less than that, so you know it's not much. And then any child after that is only $38 a month. We have a table. We have 18 children left that can be sponsored. So during the lunch, go look at the table, look at a child, and hopefully you'll find one that you want to sponsor. Thank you.
I just want to say thank you to Hans for his faithfulness in promoting this program each year. It's always a good thing to learn where someone's heart is, and Hans cares about children. Thank you, Hans.
Good morning, everyone. What a glorious, glorious day it is out there, and I want to especially welcome our guests today, our visitors, and if it's been since last year, since you've been here coming back for the summer, we consider that we want to kind of recognize you, at least by raising your hands. We won't have you stand and do anything to embarrass you, but if you'll raise your hand, for those that are visitors, we would like to see who you are. There we go. Yes, I've already met at least one of the couples out there from around the Lubbock area. Anyway, welcome, and we're certainly glad to have you here at Cloudcroft United Methodist Church. We try to be the friendliest church in town, so y'all can kind of check us off and see and let us know after the service today. In fact, today we're so friendly and so glad that you're here. We have a potluck made just for the visitors today. So this is Potluck Sunday, and don't worry, we always have more than enough food. Now, the desserts may run a little shy, so just be sure and get them last. I'm just kidding. I'm a big dessert fan of desserts. As far as announcements, if you would notice on the back all the birthdays and anniversaries, I even saw Jim Goodwin on there somewhere. I see, Jim, you were 38 last year. Are you going to finally be 39 this year? Retired 39. Okay. Good, Jim. I don't know why they don't put our ages on there. I did go last Monday and get the left eye done, so I am finished with my cataract surgeries. And just to show you how good, I'm going to have Chuck, I tell you what, let's really make it hard. I see you're holding up a hymnal. Now, next, would you hold up some fingers there? I'm going to see how many fingers that you're holding up. Yeah, six or eight? Yeah. Okay, well, anyway, I'm 69, so they can only do so much you know, for a 69-year-old's eyesight. But anyway, I do praise God that it's a wonderful thing, and that I had it done and no pain, and all the prayers. I thank you for all the prayers in this congregation. Be sure and register in the little red pads and pass them across. And then for those of you that are new, if you'll notice in the pews, there's some little blue slips. And that's for our prayer request and our praises. So if you have a prayer request this morning or a praise, just note that on the blue one, and the ushers will take those up during the first song. Now, I've got some major announcements here. Ross Justum, you'll see this in the bulletin. It talks about June the 3rd at 5 p.m., his concert. Well, we're actually going to have him for the worship service at 11. So you don't want to miss that Sunday. So he'll be here during ours, and then the concert at 5 p.m. And we certainly want to fill this, fill all the pews and even the balconies and everything for this. So invite all the friends and relatives and anybody you see on the streets, invite them to that. The next thing is we have our kind of a parting gift from Judy. She has asked Godspell to come here. So June 22nd, we'll have Godspell here, and admission is free. I guess they'll take up a little love offering, but that's going to be good, and Judy will be here in spirit, I'll assure you. So she'll be dancing in the aisles, so yeah, I may dance with you. So anyway, really make notice of these events, and we really want to try to get as many people, because you know, sometimes you get the outside people that come in for these things, and they look around and they see the members of this church and how friendly they are, and they decide, well, you know, maybe we ought to start looking for a church home. So these are good opportunities to bring others into our church. Next weekend, don't forget, is Mayfair. And how many of here have had Mr. Moffitt's bologna sandwiches? Now, are they good or what?
Yeah.
Okay. I think they're fantastic, you know. They're not like any bologna sandwiches I had as a kid, I'll guarantee you that. So you don't want to miss Mayfair, and you definitely don't want to miss this bologna sandwiches. And thank you, Mr. Moffitt, for that, and your helper, your assistant mayor. Okay. Well, I think we've covered everything. So let's prepare our hearts for the service and get nice and quiet and let the Holy Spirit enter into this place. Thank you.
Our opening hymn is found on page 420. Breathe on me, breath of God. Please stand as we sing together our opening hymn.
If you will follow with me for the words of God, I will be in the light print, and you'll be speaking from the bold print. Come, Holy Spirit.
The wind of God, the breath of life.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Our advocate, our counselor.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Teacher of wisdom, reminder of Christ.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Granter of forgiveness,
giver of peace. Come, Holy Spirit, may we feel God breathing through our worship. May we receive the Holy Spirit in this place. Amen.
Please turn in your Faith We Sing book to 21:19, where the Spirit of the Lord is.
Keep your bulletins and join with me on the prayer of confession. O God, you who are always doing a new thing, we confess that we sometimes close windows
against
the fresh air of new ideas, against the noise of other people's worries, against the winds of change. God of every place and time, we confess that we often draw the curtains
against people who are different,
against world news or community concerns. Forgive us our insulation in our locked homes, our shuttered churches, and hardened hearts. Open up our lives, our minds, our hearts, and let your Spirit flow through. Amen.
And in answer to that prayer, to open up our lives, our minds, and our hearts, and let the Spirit blow through, this is Pentecost Sunday, the Sunday when the Spirit of God is poured out on all flesh. So you can expect that Spirit is eager to blow afresh through your life. And hear these good words. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. All right, we have some prayer needs that have been shared this morning. Jane Sutherland wants us to pray for Sean Green, whose daughter Macy has died, and Sean is struggling with that loss. So for Sean, as he passes through the valley of the shadow of death, Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Michelle raises up the concern for rain on the mountain and all of New Mexico. Amen for all of New Mexico, Michelle. Thank you for that. And so we pray in hopes of the rain that looks like it's tantalizing and hinting it's going to be here this week. We'll praise God already for its coming. So praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
For that rain that's coming. That rain is practically obliterating West Texas with pea-sized, marble-sized, golf-sized, and softball-sized hail. One of my friends is the administrator of the hospital in Crosbyton, Texas, and windows busted out, roof completely leaking all over the whole hospital because of the hail that came with their rain. Today we have a prayer request to pray for Carl Herrig, our much-loved errant member who's traveling all over the United States right now. And we must pray for Carl and his travels. Linda Close has shared that she's going to be traveling. Several others of you are going to be traveling. So for all of those who are away and are going away, Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Let us go to God in prayer. Holy God, as we come to you this morning, we bring to you the needs of the people who sit around us. So we are asking that the Holy Spirit especially intercede in the lives of the persons that we are sitting next to, or behind, or in front of. Lord, I pray for those who are seeking new jobs. We lift up to you those who are dealing with serious health concerns of all kinds. We pray for people who are in that in-between stage, in transition stage, going from one thing to another, and pray for your gift of peace in their lives. And Lord, as we worship you this morning, I pray that your Holy Spirit will move amongst us and that each person will in some kind of way encounter you meaningfully because of the worship this morning. And also, God, we just want to say we love you. We praise you. We thank you. We are humbled by so much goodness in our lives. And we just thank you for that. And now, God, we're going to rest our hearts on these words as we pray the way Jesus taught the disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now we'd like for the ushers to come forward to receive the morning offering. Have the children come down for time with Miss Marty.
Jeannie. Well, Mr. Craig got us ready. Did you know we have somebody that works every Sunday and nobody gets to see him? And he does it because he loves us, because he loves to do the music for us and well, do the sound system for us. And it's a trick. Let me tell you, that sound system is a trick. Thank you, Mr. Craig. He thought the clowns were going to be here, so he got four mics ready up here for us. I forgot to tell him that only one clown was going to be here, and I'm not in my usual clothes. So we have a story today about Nicodemus. So has anybody heard a story about Nicodemus? It's kind of an obscure thing in the Bible, but it's a big thing, a really big thing. Let me read to you the scripture about Nicodemus. Nicodemus was talking to Jesus, and Jesus was talking to him. He said something that Nicodemus did not understand. He said, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." John 3:3. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." 2 Corinthians 5:17. So Nicodemus was really puzzled by that. You know what puzzled means? Confused. Very good. And you know what? To this day, there's a lot of people who are still confused by that, because we have to take it on faith. But we're going to show you something today. You know, the other day we had the thing with the dollar bill and the paper clips going together. Well, I may have shown this to the church before, but I figure you small kids weren't here then, and the older people can't remember that I did it. So, I'm going to show you something here. Come here, one of you. It doesn't matter. I'll let you take the other one out. Okay, pull it out. That's supposed to represent a caterpillar. See, it's kind of fuzzy on the edges. It's supposed to be a caterpillar, right? Okay, you can go sit down. Corbin, come up here. Okay, what happens with a caterpillar? What does it turn into? A butterfly, that's right. Well, you know what? I'm going to let you put that caterpillar in this bag, and we're going to see if we can get the Holy Spirit to come and turn it into a butterfly. Can you put it down in there, please? Put it way down in there. Okay, next in line. I'm sorry, you're going to have to tell me your name because I forgot. This is Serena. Okay, Serena. All right, so Serena, come up here. Now, stick your hand down in the bag. Can you feel anything? Grab the bottom of the bag and pull it out. Pull it out. There's no caterpillar. It went into a cocoon. Have you ever seen caterpillars? Yeah, have you ever seen cocoons? They're kind of like a bag that's wrapped around a caterpillar. And what happens after that bag is wrapped around the caterpillar? It turns into a butterfly. Okay, would you come up here? You grab in the bag and pull it out, and then spread it out and turn around. Show everybody. Ooh. It's a butterfly, isn't it? Well, you know what? That's what happens in a way when we ask Jesus to come into our heart and we ask the Holy Spirit to live within us. We go into a cocoon. We say, "Oh, Jesus, I need you, and I want you in my heart." And then when we come out of that cocoon with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit with us, we're brand new. We've been born again. We're the same body, but now we've become a butterfly. We've become purer and more beautiful in everyone's sight. So we're not really worms right now, are we? No. We're actually beautiful kids, beautiful people. But we know that if we ask Jesus into our heart, that we can be born again just like those caterpillars do, They come out as a beautiful inside and outside, don't they? Let's bow our heads. Thank you, dear Lord, for letting us come to you and ask you and tell you of our troubles and ask you what we need and have faith that you will walk every step with us, that you'll be with us through all of life's trials and tribulations, that you'll be there for us and our parents and our friends and family and everyone in the world if they just ask for you to come into their heart. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Okay, our scripture, the reading this morning on this day of Pentecost is, guess what? It's Acts chapter 2. What a surprise. Beginning with verse 1, listen to the word of God. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each one. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. At this sound, the crowds gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native tongue of each. Now, oftentimes when we talk about Pentecost, we get all wound up about people speaking in tongues. No, that wasn't the miracle. The miracle was that each one heard in their native language. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Aren't these all who are speaking Galileans?" And the reason they said that is because everyone else was from all these other countries all around the known world, and they were confused that these Galileans, these people from that tiny little province in Palestine, could speak all of these languages. Listen to where they were all from. "How is it that we hear, each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia." Cappadocia is way up there in Turkey. "Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome way over there in Italy, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They're all filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men and women of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these aren't drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel.'" And here's what Joel said: "In the last days, it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. even upon my slaves, both men and women. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, it was 50 days, about a month and a half, after Jesus had descended, when the disciples of Jesus experienced a radical change in their lives. After the fire and the wind touched them, they began to do things that they had never done before. The Spirit of God, this breath that proceeds from God, who breathes the breath of life into each one of us, creates and makes things new, just like Marty shared about that caterpillar turning into a chrysalis and then emerging. The day of Pentecost ushered in the age of the Spirit, the age of new ways of being, the age of new ways of relating to other people, for all people, including you and me. We very often hear about beginning new eras and new periods in human life. Endless promises of new beginnings are promised this time of year at every graduation ceremony in the country. New elected officials pontificate endlessly with promises of new solutions to old problems. And every time a new region gets piped water or a new power plant is built in an area that never had power before, some important official is going to get up on a podium somewhere and address the people and speak of a new era, a new start, a new creation. But, in fact, human life and its relationships goes on just as it always did before. The only difference is that the quarrels at home, the fights in the bars, the deceptive talk and destructive gossip, the degrading relationships and the selfish hoarding is all now done with electric light and clean drinking water. Real human newness cannot be through a building or a power plant, a landing on the moon, a flight to Mars, nor can it be a new psychological theory or a social paradigm, new communication systems, or even a new set of laws or more rigorous enforcement of old laws. It can't even be a date on the calendar. You cannot change a quarreling family by eating better food, by installing a large screen TV, or buying a bigger car. Real change can only come if mentalities and attitudes change from within. Real progress can only be made if outlooks and judgments change. This is what happened at that moment that the Spirit of God descended on all the disciples of Jesus. They not only were capable of speaking all kinds of languages, but were willing to use those languages to connect with people they never would have thought of addressing before. Look at the text. Those weird Parthians, those stinking Medes, those don't know their place Elamites, and horror of horror, those foreigners from Mesopotamia, strange looking people in strange looking clothes who ate strange smelling food. But the text says these outcasts could hear the disciples speaking about God's deeds of power, because the now empowered disciples ventured out of their comfort zone and locked rooms to do what the Spirit of God was compelling them to do. What a miracle! God's at it again. The Word of God not only transcended cultural barriers, but it arrived in the particular language of each listener. This falling Spirit verified Christmas. all wrapped up in human form. God had come to us in a human form, in a language we could understand. At Pentecost, God came to us using existing languages that could be understood so that no one would be excluded. Peter would go on to preach in Acts 2, verses 17 through 18, that God declares, "I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. No one will be left out. Sons and daughters will prophesy, and I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy." When the people saw all this and heard Peter's words, they were struck by the need to repent because they were seeing God at work in others. Others were able to come to God when the disciples went from believing in forgiveness to showing forgiveness. It happened when the disciples went from believing in God and believing that God would boldly protect them to venturing out of those locked upper rooms where they cowered behind in fear, out into the danger-filled streets of Jerusalem. It happened when the disciples went from thinking about what Jesus had said to telling what Jesus had said. The disciples were observed reaching out to heal, to serve, and to love all kinds of people all around them. Then the real miracle happened. Daily, God added to his church. There is a mysterious moment that can happen in all of our lives, a moment when belief comes alive inside us, a moment when our thinking about the promises that God has made actually begins to change us, a moment when ideas and concepts that we've heard about in church our whole lives suddenly moves our minds and our hearts and our hands and our feet and our mouths and our lips into a new way, into a life-giving way for others. That moment is called the release of the Spirit. That moment is the Holy Spirit that dwells in all flesh, seeking to bring us closer to God and closer to one another. I read a book one time entitled Release of the Spirit. I like that title because I read in the book that when I was baptized, that Holy Spirit was filled up inside of me. So I got it. You got it. What we got to do is release it. If you've been baptized, no matter how old you were at your baptism, you can trust that you have the gift of the Spirit. You don't have to wait for it. It's not something you have to jump through hoops to get. The prophet Joel said that the Spirit is poured out on all flesh. Somewhere between Joel and Peter, you can be sure you have the Spirit living inside you. But somewhere along the line, we start stifling and holding back. It's time to stop. It's time to take stock and release the Spirit once again. For the first disciples, that moment happened with a rush of wind and tongues of fire. For John Wesley, it came when he was reading something Martin Luther wrote about Romans chapter 8. John Wesley said, "I felt my heart strangely warmed." All of a sudden, the Spirit was being released in him. For me, it comes often and with surprises. It's part of an ongoing awareness of holy interruptions that I experience. Maybe it was a good book I read. It could even be a work of total fiction, and I just read a sentence in there, and whong, it jumps out the page, and I hear God speaking to me. Often I have heard blatant truth from my children. "Mama, come sit down. Just because an idea exists in the universe doesn't mean you have to do it." Oh, yes. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Every time I drive to Cloudcroft to my office, and I look up and I anyway, I see those pine trees covering the mountains, silhouetted against the blue sky. The Holy Spirit comes over me, and I'm filled with awe and thanksgiving at the beauty of this world that God has created. I definitely experience the Holy Spirit when I become aware of acts of good that so many of you do quietly and silently in our community and in our church. These moments come for all of us in as many different ways as we are unique people. When it comes, we make a choice to let it change our lives in that moment, or squish that urge and set it aside and continue business as usual. The Spirit already resides in us simply because we were baptized, but it's up to us to release that Spirit when those choices offer themselves to us. The problem lies in our fear of losing control. It lies in our refusal to trust God's promises and our fear of others thinking us weird. There goes another one of those Jesus people. So we hold back. You see, Jesus doesn't force or coerce ever. Go back and read all those stories of healing. Jesus is walking along and somebody yells at him and he says, "What do you want?" He just doesn't go around zapping people for whatever Jesus thinks that they need. He asks them, "What do you want?" Jesus is never going to coerce or force or make you do something. You have a choice. This gift from God takes us from having belief in God to freeing God's power in us. And while I can stifle that power within me for a time, while I can turn from it and conceal it for a while, I can never escape because the Spirit resides in me. The Spirit is here now in each of us, old and young and medium. The Spirit is here now and it struggles within us for expression. And it will when we let it go. The Spirit does all that Jesus said it would do. It brings to mind the words of God. When you're in trouble, it brings to mind those words that you've read from God's words. The words that we sometimes try to forget. It becomes that little maybe you shouldn't be doing this. That's the Spirit. It brings to mind the words that we sometimes are desperately looking for, and suddenly we have. Those words that allow us to bring comfort to a friend in trouble. Those words that allow us to communicate forgiveness and love to others. Those words that bring peace to the soul, our own soul, and the soul of others. Sometimes that Spirit roars through our life like a wind and turns everything upside down and makes huge changes. Sometimes it gently glides through our life like a soaring bird. Sometimes it's like fire. Sometimes it rushes us along like a river. Sometimes it's ever so soft, like a still, small voice within. Jesus said, "Let everyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink." Peter said, "This gift is for everyone, for the promise is for you, and for your children, and for all those who are far away." He tells us, The gift is to be poured out on all flesh, sons and daughters. And my prayer today is that every last one of us here today will experience once again the pouring out of God's Spirit in your life. And now go release it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Please stand as we sing our closing hymn, page 334, Sweet, Sweet Spirit.
There's a sweet, sweet.
First of all, there's plenty of food for everyone, so we expect the visitors to come because this is a generous church, and they always bring plenty of food, so y'all come eat. It's free, okay? You can't beat that at the local restaurants. And now, second of all, listen to these words of sending. I think that we hear what we expect to hear. We see what we expect to see. We know that's true. There's people who just expect for all kinds of bad to always be happening. The ones that see a glass as half empty. Then there's those who see the glass as half full, and they see possibilities, and they see goodness. My challenge to you this week is to expect to see, to feel, to hear the release of the Spirit in your life. So open the door and allow possibilities to happen. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now I'm going to pray for that food, and we're going to sing that closing chorus, He is Lord. Lord, bless this food. Thank you that we get to eat and fellowship together, because when that Holy Spirit was poured out on those early people, your church was established, and people came together in fellowship and broke bread together and loved on each other while they ate. So, Lord, I ask your blessings on the food and the people as together we eat today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Christ is Lord.
Time, Judy. Thank you.